welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and with me today are two cohorts, reviews editor Jonathan Metz.
Hello.
And back from maternity leave, Mike Sklens.
yeah, I have returned once again.
What did you name the baby?
I named it after your mom, but I can't remember her name because she's that forgettable.
So that was terrible. Your baby's joke. Name is your mom?
Your mom.
I just named the baby your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Provocative.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to discuss today, guys. And so let's get right on into it. Mike, what have you been playing?
I was playing Star Fox a lot. And I was really enjoying Star Fox, but then Super Paper Mario came out.
Oh.
Right now I'm actually away on a business trip. I'm recording from the hotel, so I haven't played Super Paper Mario in a couple days, and I'm starting to get anxious. I want to get back to it.
Is it awesome?
It's really damn good. I'm only in the second world, but I really like it.
Great. Anything else you've been playing?
Just Star Fox, which is every bit as awesome as I remember it, and maybe a little better now that there's not as much fog.
Sweet. Awesome. What about you, Johnny?
The only thing I played last week was Super Paper Mario, and I didn't get it until Wednesday because I was actually too busy to pick it up Tuesday, and I don't say that lightly. Mm-hmm. I was almost too busy to pick it up Wednesday, and then I flew back to my parents' house Thursday and just got back 20 minutes ago. So I have played all the way up through World 1-2.
Okay.
Excellent.
So I really can't say much about it. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I suffer from a rare syndrome known as being poor. So I have not bought Super Paper Mario. And because of my unnatural disdain for the Paper Mario games, I'm not in a rush.
Mm.
So I'm gonna wait
fired.
And see if anyone who hated Paper Mario really likes Super Paper Mario, and then I might give it a shot.
Okay,
I'm waiting on that. But anything else that you've been playing, Johnny?
No, but no. I will say that for me, I don't know, Carl. I don't know what it is that you dislike about the Paper Mario games.
It's boring.
What I don't like about them, I'm more of a fan of Mario and Luigi and the original mm-hmm. Super Paper, the original Super Mario RPG. Paper Mario 1 and 2 are good, but I'm not terribly enthusiastic about them. And my big problem is that the battle system is so simple, and simple is it's really cool early early in the game, and even mid-game, because mid-game they start to do clever things that really make you think about what you're doing, you know, and they kind of make you use the mechanics in different ways and think about them differently. But towards the last third of the game, I think in both cases, it just gets to be really tedious. Like, the battles are, you're using the same jump over and over, and it's just very boring. And actually, Mario and Luigi too on DS had kind of a similar fate. So that's not going to be a problem in Super Paper Mario, because it's basically a Paper Mario RPG game, but with platforming combat from the Super Mario games, mm-hmm. replacing all the turn-based battles.
Well, what worries me about this is that I was watching the 1UP show a couple days ago, and they were talking about the game, and they said that it's more Paper Mario than Super Mario.
I would agree so far, but I've only seen it very little. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it is. It's more Paper Mario, but it's still, it's like, it's a platformer, except instead of when you jump on a Goomba, it doesn't instantly die. Instead, you deal damage points to it, and then if you've mm-hmm. dealt enough, it dies as normal.
So you can bounce off of it and then try to land on it again and basically jump on it three times in a row to kill it. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as for what I've been playing, see, I have this very, some would say, bad habit of trading in games, even though you get very little for it.
That's how I basically bought Super Paper Mario.
Yeah, well, you know, I basically went through a bunch of old games that I supposedly don't care much for to decide which ones will be fed to GameStop. So I played through Eternal Darkness just to make sure that I don't like it, and sure enough, I don't. I'm also gonna trade in Hotel Dusk, because as great as the game is and as much fun as I had playing through it the first time, much like Phoenix Wright, there's no replay value in it.
Yeah.
And so, like, I went through a little bit again, and if you already know the story, there's really no drive to keep on going through it. But yeah, as far as Hotel Dusk goes, I mean, it's just it much like Phoenix Wright, there's no replay value in it, in that, you know, once you've beaten the story once, you already know all the twists and turns, and that basically brings it down to the gameplay, which is, you know, mostly just point and click, and there's really no replay value in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking through the other stuff that I played. Oh, Sonic Rush is going to be fed to GameStop.
I thought that was really good.
It's okay, but I was never much of a Sonic fan to begin with.
Mm.
So the fact that it's just okay, and the fact that it's just an okay Sonic game doesn't really do much for me. In fact, the only DS games that I'll be keeping are Meteos, Elite Beat Agents, Mario Kart, and my Japanese copy of Cooking Mama, because I just can't unload it.
Yeah.
You can't get rid of it.
Oh, I should also mention that I've been playing Portrait of Ruin, because I never finished it, so I picked that back up again. And I just, I'm pretty far into it, but I just beat the, sisters and got the fake ending, so I have to go back and figure out what the hell I need to do to continue on in the game instead of getting the fake ending.
I still haven't played any of the DS Castlevanias.
That's too bad. Yeah. Did you play Aria of Sorrow?
Dawn of Sorrow is amazing.
Did you play Aria of Sorrow on GBA?
I played a little bit of it, but not enough to really say that I played through it.
You should go back and pick that one up, and then get Dawn of Sorrow for DS.
Dawn of Sorrow is awesome.
I don't know, it just didn't grab me, awesome. So I never paid too much attention to it.
Portrait of Ruin I don't like as much. I don't know, not as good. It's solid,
it's still good, but it's not as good as the Sorrow games. Yeah, those two are the crowning jewel in the series.
Well, alrighty. Let's move on to our Virtual Console Monday. We're once again recording a day late, which means we are privy to the current roster of new VC games. First up today, I'm sure this is going to make Chris Kohler happy. He's been waiting a long time for this.
It's already up on his blog, actually.
Yeah. That's
The Hunger Strike has ended.
blog.wire.com/games. There's a little Chris Kohler plug for you there. Punch-Out on the NES.
If I was not at this convention right now, I would be playing it. But it will be the first thing I do when I get home tomorrow.
Of course, it's sans Mike Tyson.
Of course. It would have been nice if it could have gotten the license, but it really doesn't matter in the end.
Featuring Mr. Dream. But outside of Punch-Out, we've got Virtual Fighter 2, but it's the Genesis version, which means it's apparently the crappy version.
Fail. Yeah, well, some of us think that every version of Virtua Fighter 2 is the crappy version.
Oh,
but the Genesis version is probably even yet crappier than the others.
Ouch.
Crappiest.
And after that, we've got something that I'm sure Aaron will really like, Bonk's Revenge for the TurboGrafx 16.
I heard that's way better than the original. Pretty good. Yeah, I heard it's great. Mm-hmm. I didn't download the first Bonk on Virtual Console because I have the GameCube. Excuse me, I have the GameCube port of it, the upgrade version of it, and I liked Bonk on GameCube, but I found it to be a little simple and dry, and very short. So I just didn't think it was worth downloading the original version. But Bonk's Revenge is new content, and if people say that it's better than the original, then I'll probably download it. It's cheap.
Cool. Well, okay, let's move on to our listener mail. This one comes from DJ Unknown, who says, "First off, I thoroughly enjoyed your feature section on Metroid. It's a shame that it was a bit one-sided."
Johnny.
Thank you for that, Johnny. "But it's good to know there are passionate Metroid fans out there."
Johnny.
Oh, that's passionate? I don't think it's the right word for it. Excessive might be a better word.
Yeah.
However, I think that whenever Halo and Metroid go head-to-head, Halo's going to trounce it every time. They have the active user base. It's still active. You play on Xbox Live. Microsoft will no doubt have a marketing blitz to end all marketing blitzes. And Nintendo hasn't really made that sort of effort, even with their past AAA titles. So why should Metroid Prime 3 be any different? Well, Johnny, I'm going to let you answer that question.
Well, I don't know. I think the problem of Metroid Prime 2's sales are easily chalked up to the release of Halo 2, but that's not the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really sure how much crossover there was at the time between GameCube and Xbox owners. Mm-hmm. There's probably more crossover now between 360 and Wii owners, but not as much total because neither system has been out for that long. I know, that's really confusing. It's a stupid comment in the first place.
But it's the truth,
I just think
damn it.
It's not... I think the idea that people can only buy one game per month or one game per holiday season is a bit silly. That's just not the way things work, and especially because Metroid is a very different game from Halo, and maybe with the first two games that was not emphasized enough in the marketing or whatever, especially with Metroid 2 having a multiplayer mode. I don't know, maybe people got confused and really thought it was some kind of Halo competitor or something. They're totally different games, and Metroid is way better. So I think Nintendo, if they, you know, if they play their cards right, release it in a different month or whatever, or sell it as a different kind of game, or I don't know, depending on what kind of new features Retro is packing in there, it you know, it may be even more different than we expect. That shouldn't be a huge problem. I think the main reason that Echoes didn't sell all that well is that it was too much like the first game and not hyped at all. Outside of the very, very hardcore, it was not advertised very well, and it came out in a season that not only had Halo 2 but a ton of other games, and it came at really just beyond the peak of the GameCube's life cycle, where people really weren't looking to buy any new GameCube games at that point, and that's the opposite from Wii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think it's
I think that's
huge
a definitely
danger.
A fair point,
they just have to handle their cards right. And from what Reggie has said, it sounds like they are not going to let that happen again. They're really going to pay attention to what they do with it this time. So I feel
definitely
pretty safe about it.
And he goes on to say, my question for this week is...
Well, hold on, actually. I'd like to stop and talk about Nintendo's marketing of their AAA titles, which to me always seems like they're never doing enough. I mean, Mario and Zelda and Metroid don't get near as much commercial play as, say, the latest Final Fantasy game, or precisely Halo games, which have the marketing blitz to end all marketing blitzes as far as video games are concerned. Or even, you know, Grand Theft Auto gets a ton of money poured into its marketing campaign, and Nintendo continually undermarkets their products compared to the competition.
Obi, what about Wii?
Wii is, it's definitely a step up, but obviously we're seeing Wii marketing in a lot of very non-traditional you know, market, mm-hmm. in a lot of non-traditional mediums, where it's a lot of word of mouth and a lot of like street team stuff, because that's what's going to sell this product. You know, you can put a commercial out for Wii as, you know, like brand awareness kind of thing, but you can't really hammer home the idea of this is what Wii is about without really showing it to the people. And they're doing a very, very good job with that. But I mean, you know, I didn't see a lot of commercials for WarioWare, and, you know, I feel like I should be seeing a lot more commercials for these games. They can't sell... You can sell a system like the Wii with commercials and word of mouth, but games really... I think the games themselves, especially the ones that aren't quite as innovative in control mechanisms, they need more of a traditional approach for the marketing.
Okay, well, his second question is... have you guys attempted to get people in the gaming industry on the podcast? I got this question when Johnny was talking about Retro at length. It got me thinking, if you could get someone from Retro, someone from NOA's localization team, or even third-party developers or spokespeople just to drop in and take questions, that might help a lot. Nintendo World Report is one of the most respected fan sites out there, so why wouldn't they want to reach out to the listeners out there? Well, actually, DJ, we've had a couple people from the industry on the show. Back in episode 20-something, we had Ken Chan, who was a brand manager for Acclaim, come in and talk about marketing for video games. And even recently, from GDC, we had a podcast interviewing Keiichi Yano. So we do have it from time to time. As for future industry people on the podcast, well, you'll just have to wait and see,
yeah,
I suppose.
We're looking, you know, we're working hard. Obviously, it's something we clearly want to do because we enjoy it and you enjoy it.
Then says, keep up the good work, guys. Special thanks to Carl and Johnny for holding down the fort. And you're very welcome.
Yes, special thanks, especially for me. I've been absent for far too long.
Well, having babies takes a while, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, well, that closes us up for community. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the news.
This week's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Evan Birchfield. Evan Birchfield is the finest supplier of premium high-definition televisions and toaster ovens. Please be sure to visit Evan Birchfield and peruse their online catalogs at www.batmanreturnsismydaddy.com. As always, Evan Birchfield appreciates your patronage, and with each purchase of $50,000 or more, we'll provide you with a free photograph of a cubic zirconium diamond found in the least inhumane mines of Africa. Remember, if it doesn't say Evan Birchfield, it may not be very good.
Okay, and we're back for the news. First up today, Sega announces Sonic Rush Adventure for the DS.
Nobody notices or cares.
Well, some screens came out with it, and for the most part, it looks like Sonic Rush did, but the sprites are a little cleaner. They did show some 3D levels, though, and where Sonic is riding on a jet ski.
Uh-oh. Well, Sonic Rush had 3D levels, had 3D boss fights, right?
It did, but this one looks like he's on the water riding a jet ski. I don't remember that from Sonic Rush.
Sonic plus any type of, I don't know, anything, like a gun or a jet ski or
a vehicle or a surfboard or...
Yeah, always a bad idea.
A car or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll have to hold judgment on this. But I've heard that the dev team on it is Sonic Team USA.
Aren't they the same team that's doing the new Knights?
Yeah, I guess they're just a busy bunch of people. Yeah,
I feel bad for anyone who's excited for Knights, personally.
It's not that they're that busy, it's just that making those Sonic games doesn't take all that much effort.
Well, I think that they might be outsourcing a little bit of it to Dimps again, so...
Oh, yeah, that's probably true, because I think Rush was made by Dimps.
And I think they made the GBA games, too, so yeah, they did. It makes sense.
Knights, man, I don't know. People, I still can't understand why Sega fans still get excited about Sega games. It's just like, well, I don't know, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. I mean, I'm all great. If Knights comes out and it's fantastic, you know, that's awesome, but I have no faith in Sega, period.
Well, there's a long list of Sega games that Sega fans want to see. They want to see another Panzer Dragoon, they want to see another Skies of Arcadia,
well, we got another Panzer
they want to
Dragoon,
see another Shenmue.
Shenmue? Really?
Yeah, see, this is Sega,
really?
Sega fans are suspect to begin with, because anyone who wants another Shenmue must have something wrong with them.
That's a pretty sweeping indictment there. I wouldn't say that. Yeah.
If you're a Sega fan, there's something wrong with you.
No, I said if you're a Shenmue,
quoted by
Mike Shenmue fan, there's something
wrong
with you.
All right.
I'm a former Sega fan. I had a Dreamcast. I loved it. I would love to see a sequel to Skies of Arcadia, but I would not trust anything until I played it myself. Because Sega is just in this position where it seems like they just can't make a good game no matter how hard they try, no matter how good the IP is to begin with. It just always comes out like crap.
Oh, fair enough. Next up on the docket, Intelligent Systems is considering bringing Fire Emblem back to handhelds and online. Awesome or so awesome?
Well, I'm sure they'll sell more.
Yeah, I think it's a statement of how poorly the game is done on Wii.
And
I can understand why it's done poorly. I mean, it's only out in Japan at this point, obviously, but, you know, it's done very poorly in Japan for Wii, even where most Wii games are quite successful over there. And
that seems kind of surprising. You think it would do well, considering it's an established franchise that has been traditionally done very well in Japan, but just tanked, which just seems weird to me.
I don't think Well, I guess it was fairly successful on the GBA over there, but it wasn't like the days of yore on Super NES or Super Famicom. But I think, you know, I think they probably feel the same way that a lot of us over here do when they saw the Wii version. They said, wow, that looks exactly the same as the GameCube version. And it's not just graphically, it plays the same. You can use a GameCube controller to play
it. The
gameplay
engine
is exactly the same. It's basically an expansion pack for the GameCube version, and that just didn't excite people, especially because not many people played the GameCube version.
Well, the fact is, Johnny, even the GameCube game is really just an expansion of the GBA game.
Yeah, but at least it's on a new system, and it looks different. It's also got the whole other race and everything. There are some significant differences.
Don't get me wrong.
GameCube
Path of Radiance. Path of Radiance is a great game. I gave it a 9.5.
I know you love it. I know. But what I'm saying is, if the previous game in the series sold very poorly, not many people really cared about it, you don't change the success of the series by coming out with a sequel that's exactly the same as the previous failed iteration of it. You have to do something different. And the Fire Emblem for Wii just really stinks to me of, let's get a game out as close to launch as possible, and who cares if it's any different than the last one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's a fair judgment. But, I mean, as far as this new one, though, goes, I mean, it is coming to DS, and there are rumors of online play and a level editor. I mean, that would be a great change to the series.
Absolutely, yeah. This is what they need. I mean, they should have put this stuff in the Wii version. But, mm-hmm. yeah, it's good that they're finally saying, well, maybe we need to think about some new features and making the game different every time we bring it out.
Next up, Guitar Hero 3 was announced for Wii last week.
Sort of on accident.
There's a lot of concern.
Sort of on accident.
Yeah, a little bit. And a lot of people were worried that it wouldn't include the same content as the PS3 or Xbox 360 versions. But put your fears to rest. It will include the guitar, online play, and downloadable songs.
Well, I don't know if we should put our fears to rest about downloadable songs after seeing how that went on the 360.
Well, right, yeah. That's true. But, I mean, put your fears to rest that they won't be there. They will be there.
What's wrong with them on 360?
They're not expensive.
Really?
They're not expensive. $2 a song is completely reasonable. It costs $1 to get a song on iTunes. I can see $2 for an interactive song. All that stuff has to be coded. What's ridiculous about it is that you have to buy them in packs of three. And the songs are cobbled together in collections of three that make no sense. Like, there's not three punk rock songs. It'll be like a 60s jam band song and then like a 90s punk rock song in the same pack. So if you want one, if you only really like, you know, like Johnny, you would like all the 60s jam band stuff, but you'd have to pay $6 for three songs, even though you only wanted one of those songs.
What kind of 60s jam band songs are we talking about?
Allman Brothers is in Guitar Hero 2. And
right.
then Leonard Skinner is in there, and... But just,
you think they're a jam band? Okay, well,
it's just the cobbling together of songs is kind of ridiculous, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
And then, of course, they put, as an example, they put a Queen song in with Adonis song.
Yeah. Okay.
So, just to give you, it's pretty random.
Are they all songs from the first game putting on the second?
Yes. So far, they're going through the back catalog for the 360 and adding all the old songs, but I'm sure they'll come out with new ones. And that's where it gets, really gets attractive, is where you get, like, a brand new song, you know, for $2 alone, but that's never going to happen, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I honestly think $2 is a little excessive, considering that they're done by cover bands. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was, you pay $1 on iTunes for the non-interactive version, mm-hmm. but that's by the original artist.
Right.
And Guitar Hero, you get, and some of the, I mean, yeah, most of them sound pretty good, but some of them are definitely not.
Yeah. They're Kurt Cobain, and Guitar Hero 2 is pretty much terrible sounding.
Well, I mean, what were they going to do about Kurt Cobain?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Really?
I mean, I can understand some of it because they did go through and redo them, you know, for the 360 with Progressive Scan, and they redid tracks so they could be played in co-op mode and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's not just a direct port. I still really don't think $2 is too bad. I think it's about the maximum that I would pay. Anything over $2 would seem ridiculous. I think $1.50 a song would be more of a sweet spot, but as it is, they're charging $6.25 for three songs, and there's no way around it.
I'm not even sure if you can charge $1.50 for something in Microsoft points.
Yeah, that's
or whatever
another problem.
Called.
Of course, they're going to run into the same problem on Nintendo's service. I mean, sure, the point system is a lot more balanced on Nintendo's end, but you still can't buy less than, you know, 1,000 points if you're buying direct with a credit card.
But you'll have to wait and see on how Guitar Hero 3
if it'll
turns
even
out.
Be good.
Next up. Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, Harmonix isn't on that one. But, you know, Neversoft is a good developer. They'll probably pull something out. All right. And we've talked about the Prince of Persia movie before, but now it's got a confirmed director, and it's none other than Michael Bay. Who you'll know from Pearl Harbor and the upcoming Transformers movie.
I'm looking forward to a lot of close-up shots of the American flag waving in the wind in the Prince of Persia
I can't remember where I read it, but I think it might have been either Kotaku or Joystick. One of them was saying they were expecting exploding horses.
Actually, that there kind of already are exploding horses in the Two Thrones. There's a chariot race through the city, and there's a lot of horses and explosions, and I have to think the two coincide at some point.
I mean, it is a video game. It is, you know, at least somewhat action-oriented, so maybe Michael Bay's not the worst guy for the job.
The first Prince of Persia is much more of, like, a very narrative-focused game. And the second two are, obviously, they're much less focused because Jordan Mechner, who wrote the script and created the original Prince of Persia and wrote the script for Sands of Time, left Ubisoft to go start writing the script for this movie years ago. So that's why you see Warrior Within and Two Thrones nowhere near as good as far as the plot is concerned.
Obi, did you actually play through all the way in Two Thrones?
Yeah, well, I made it to the final boss, but I didn't beat the final boss. And it was extremely, like, way, way better plot-wise than Warrior Within. But it still didn't stand up to the original. But it was so much better than Warrior Within.
Yeah, it is. I think it's actually just as good as the original. I mean, it's different, but
the gameplay is better than the original, easily.
It's struggling to... the third one, the plot is kind of struggling to tie up all the crap that they introduced in the second one. And I think they do a really nice job of that while going back to the character development and the introspection. And also a lot of the kind of trippy psychological stuff that's in the first one. I thought it was a really nice job. It may be kind of an imitation of the first game in that way, but
it's the sincerest form of flattery.
To me, it felt the story felt much more like the first game. It really reminded me of that quite a bit.
And like I said, I definitely think the gameplay was a lot better, even though some of the Dark Prince stuff. I mean, I didn't mind the Dark Prince stuff, but I hate like arbitrary difficulty through like you only have so long to live when you're the Dark Prince. I hate that kind of crap.
Yeah.
But I dealt with it because it was never bad. You never really got close to dying.
Well, that ought to wrap us up for a talk on the Prince of Persia movie. When we come back, we're going to be talking about our feature of the week, so stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Sean Connery, and you're listening to Radio Free Nintendo, and I need to fire my agent, the Avengers, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the damned James Bond video game. What is this crap? Get me out of here, now!
Okay, and we're back. And for our feature this week, we're going to be talking about games that Nintendo can use to basically push their momentum with the casual gamer. And there have actually been a few games announced that should do that just fine. I know before we started recording, we were talking about Wii Health Pack a lot.
Yeah, this is going to be probably the big one. I mean, you know, this is the one that Miyamoto is supposedly behind, and they're really like pushing like mad to make Wii Health Pack the next big thing for your family.
The next Wii Sports, basically.
Yes.
What do we know about it at this point?
Very little.
Well, we do know that it might have some sort of biometric sensor.
Yeah.
That will send your...
Maybe a biometric sensor.
Right.
You guys
right.
know there's a precedent for that. Do you know what it is?
Wasn't it a Tetris game?
It was a Tetris game. Yeah, it was called... I believe it was called Tetris 64. It was the first Tetris game released... in Japan for the Nintendo 64. It never came out here, but it was a strange... it was, I think, a fairly typical Tetris game, but it came with a thing that attached to your finger and measured your heart rate, and as you played the game, the game would get faster, and it kind of used your heart rate to regulate the speed of the blocks falling. Very strange stuff. Gimmick.
And I think that's what we'll see with... If there is indeed some sort of biometric sensor with Health Pack, I imagine it'll be something that plugs into the bottom of the Wii Remote and you strap onto your wrist and it monitors your pulse. Would most likely be what I can...
Seems easy to do.
Yeah, it's very easy to do, but it's still some, you know, decent health data that the game is pulling out.
Yeah, and it's actually like a lot more scientific than on DDR where you type in your weight and it basically measures how many calories you've supposedly burned by... how long you've been playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is completely inaccurate. So the heart rate thing should tell them a lot, actually.
Yeah. And then there's actually the idea that it'll send your information to nearby hospitals so that when you go in for a checkup, your doctor will already know that you're vastly overweight.
Yeah, and it'll send your data back, like, I guess, on your Wii message board and say, you burned this many calories and, you know, this is your health situation, or maybe you should see a doctor, fatty.
Your physical age is obese.
I'm not sure if people are going to be really happy about seeing the blue slot light and going over to check their Wii mail, and they have a message from Nintendo saying, you are fat.
But I mean, how would they know if you're fat? I guess just if your heart rate goes up a lot on an easy task, I guess they would know that you are out of shape.
Probably,
yeah. Either that or you just drank 4 Red Bulls.
Well,
there are going to be people cheating the system, like, who want to get really good Wii scores, who are going to, like, they're going to extend the strap and have their buddy sit on the couch at the strap while they work out, just so it looks like they have an incredible heart rate.
Hey, I just had a hilarious idea. Once this comes out, if it does have a heart rate monitor attachment, What if Nintendo used that same attachment for a new game that was like an extension of their old product, the Love Meter?
Where oh, no.
It's like one of these things you see in an arcade where you basically two people put their hands on this little metal sensor and it measures your heart rate and it tells you how compatible you are with each other.
Right.
You could easily do that with that. I mean, it would be... That would be maybe more of a channel or a like a mini game in the next WarioWare or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
Or I would love to see something like
the Romance Channel.
Or maybe like they could do they do all these like common sense training. Maybe they could do like a stress training for adults where like they put you in a stressful situation and monitor your pulse to see how stressed out you're getting by like I don't know organizing blocks or something like that on the screen.
I wonder when more English training is going to come to America.
I don't know.
Soon.
We've got to get somebody on the translation for that.
Definitely. But other than Wii Health Pack, there's actually a few others.
There's Big Brain Academy.
Yeah.
Wii Degree.
Wii Degree.
And Big Brain Academy, I didn't play the DS game. Did any of you guys?
Yeah, I reviewed it, and it's actually... I mean, it's very different than compared to... and brain training. It's much more logic problems and like visual puzzles and that kind of stuff, and I thought it was really, really enjoyable. And I guess this mm-hmm. game is pretty much an extension of that, where it's all like, you know, thinking, you know, like cognitive thinking with, you know, trying to figure out puzzles based on like where you draw a line or how many blocks are here. Even though you can't see all the blocks, you can mathematically stack them up in your head and that kind of stuff.
I think for me the reason that I didn't have a whole lot of interest in the DS version is that it didn't seem like there was really much to do when you're playing it by yourself.
Yeah, there's really not.
And one of the problems I've had with Wii is that all my friends know that I have it, and yet when they come over, usually we have a limited amount of time and we want to watch a certain movie or we have some plan, and they're just not. They like the Wii. When we have played it, they've had fun with it. But I don't have people coming over and saying, hey, can we play Wii? You know, can we bust out WarioWare? So I think I totally appreciate the idea of all these multiplayer Wii games coming out. And I'm interested in buying them for that purpose. But I would like there to be the other side of the coin available for when I'm just here by myself and I feel like playing it.
Super Paper Mario.
And Big Brain Academy... Sure, but even beyond that, the things that they do in Big Brain Academy are appealing to me to do by myself to kill some time. But it seems like a lot of these games are not really structured very well to be played by yourself. I mean, to me, the action in Wii Sports is something that I could play for a while by myself and enjoy it. But the game is not really... It's not the mechanics or the level of depth or anything... But the way the game is set up is really not very conducive to playing by yourself.
Yeah.
And I think if they would just put a little more effort into that instead of assuming that you're going to have people sitting around who want to play multiplayer, they would have a little more enthusiasm for some of these games from the hardcore market. Because just because I'm a hardcore gamer doesn't mean that I don't like playing Wii Sports Baseball. But I don't really like playing it by myself because it's such a hassle to deal with the menus. And it's basically I can do training and try to... get my score up or whatever, but they could have done a lot more with that and still maintained the simplicity of the game that appeals to everyone.
You know, I think it's silly that Big Brain's not going to have online play, because that seems like online play would be easy for that game and fun, and at the very least, it would be nice to be able to see how my other friends who own the game, how I stack up against them, even if I can't play against them. I would like to
at least leaderboards.
It's very easy to do, and it's, you know, it's kind of interesting to see, you know, my brain age is this compared to Johnny's brain age compared to Carl's brain age.
After Big Brain, we've got Wii Music here. I don't know how close this is going to be to that orchestra game that we saw at E3 with Miyamoto.
Well, I believe what we'll see is something like Wii Sports, where you get, you know, a couple of games in, like, a $30 package where, you know, they had a drumming demo... And it was kind of really rudimentary, but I'm sure they could expand on it. And then they had the orchestra.
The drums were terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible at E3. They were awful.
And there was also the orchestra demo. And, you know, I'm sure that'll be something like that, where they have a couple of musical things packaged together into one thing. As long as they make it out before Rock Band, I think they'll be fine. But Rock Band is really...
I'm not really sure if Rock Band is competition for that kind of package.
Yeah, well, Rock Band is also going to cost you like $400 with all the accessories. So.
Right, exactly.
We'll have to wait and see. And last up, Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. Now, I don't know how much appeal this has to a casual gamer, but you guys disagree.
I think it has. I think it exactly appeals to the casual gamer. The problem is it may not appeal to the non-gamer that Wii has done so well with so far. It may not appeal to grandmas and grandpas because of the characters in it. But it really straddles the line. It's not really a compromise. It just goes for, I think it goes for a market that is neither hardcore nor your mom wanting to play Wii.
Yeah, it's sort of mm-hmm.
It goes for the, it goes for kids. It goes for people who play video games but not very often. It goes for people who tend to buy games based on the characters on the box or the TV show that it is associated with.
Well, it's pretty much a licensed game if you think of it. If you think of the Olympics as a license,
absolutely, it is. Yeah. So I think it does. I think it does have a market. It's not the same market as Wii Sports, but it's not the same market as Zelda either. Mm-hmm.
I just wish this was a Winter Olympics year, or next year was an Olympic Winter Olympics year, so I could do Mario versus Sonic curling.
Eh, I'd much rather play Mario Sonic Luge, but that's
well,
just
me. Even still, I think the Winter Olympics as a whole has a much better set of events than the Summer Olympics. I guess running could work really well for the Wii, at least. I think the Summer Olympic Games probably lend themselves better to motion control than the Winter Olympic Games do.
But, it's, again, being developed by Sega, and so it's we have to wait and see on that one.
The other thing is that don't forget that the Summer Olympics include not only track and field type stuff, but also baseball, basketball, soccer, some rowing events, things like that. And a lot of these could be, this could be the first time that we really get a taste of basketball on the Wii. Mm-hmm. And, knowing Nintendo and Sega, they're going to find a simple, very fun way to do it that may actually, like Wii Sports, provide some very interesting ideas for other developers to make then a full-blown basketball game designed specifically for the Wii. So don't limit your preconception of this game to running and jumping, because there's a lot more that goes on in the Winter Olympics. The eventual Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympics should include things like the biathlon, so we can shoot our rifles while cross-country skiing.
Perhaps. But I do believe that brings us to the end of the show. And so, Johnny, I'd like to thank you for stopping by.
No problemo.
And Mike, thank you for coming back to us.
Thank you very much. I am glad to be back.
Remember, if you want to send us an email, that's rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. You can also find us at the iTunes Music Store, where you can feel free to leave us a review and a rating. Okie doke, folks. See you next week. Okay, do we have a feature of the week?